Before we begin our study together, let's pray. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam asher kidshenu b'mitzvotav v'tzivanu la'asok b'divrei Torah. Blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, who sanctifies us with his commands and commands us to engross ourselves in the words of Torah. Amen. This week's Torah portion is preparatory for Israel going into the land and gives some instruction about choosing life and presents to us, as we've been talking about from the moment we started reading Deuteronomy this year, there are two different ways of life. One is the way of blessing and the other is the way of the curse. And if you ask anybody, which would you prefer? Everyone has the same answer. I would rather live the blessed life. But the scripture is very clear about how we can live that blessed life. And the life of blessing involves faith. It involves trust in God. And it involves faithfulness as well. It involves acting in a way that reflects the trust that we have. As well, this week's Torah portion is a reminder that we're called to have joy in our life and in our relationship with God. There's the warning in this week's portion, Deuteronomy 28, verse 47. It talks about how instead of blessing, curses can come upon people. And it says, because you didn't serve the Lord your God with joy and gladness in your heart when you had such an abundance of everything. When you didn't do that, you made yourself someone who lined up, instead of blessings, you lined up with curses. And so there's a warning. Take this seriously. Ivdu et Hashem basimcha. Serve the Lord with gladness. Now, serving the Lord doesn't mean doing what you want to do and asking God to put his holy touch on it and accept it as a perfect offering. In Hebrew, the word for serve is in servant is the same as the word for slave and slavery. So when God said to Pharaoh, let my people go so that they can serve me, what he was saying is, I'm through with them being your slave, let them be my slave. Now the slave of God is different from the slave of Pharaoh. The slave of Pharaoh is under the thumb of someone who wants to exploit them and use them up and doesn't care about their well-being. But the one who is the servant of God is serving someone, the Lord, who is always looking out for your best interests and wants to use you in such a way that good will come to you. He wants to lead you. He wants to bless you. But his blessings require trust, and they require obedience as well. They also require joy. It's not enough to just go through the motions. It's not enough just to be a religious person. Being religious is very nice, especially if it's true religion, as Yaakov said, which involves serving the Lord with gladness and serving widows and orphans and having on your heart what's on God's heart. But true religion requires more than just being a religious person. It requires having a personal relationship with God, walking with him in a living way, and listening for his voice, and reading his word, and receiving his Holy Spirit, putting your trust in Yeshua the Messiah, the one who atoned for you, and the one who is not only your Savior, but he is your Lord as well. If you believe with your mouth, and you can believe in your heart, and you confess with your mouth that Yeshua is Adonai. Say, Yeshua is Adonai. Yeshua is Adonai. You know, that'll break some spiritual holds on you when you start saying that. Jewish people, I know from my experience and from conversation with others, many times we struggle with how to identify who Yeshua is. Some people like to say, well, he's a good prophet. Well, he was a good prophet, but he's much more than that. Other people like to say, well, he was a good man. He was a good teacher. He was, but he was much more than that. When we read in the English, if you believe in your heart and you confess with your mouth, Yeshua is Lord, that's nice. But when you understand Lord in Hebrew is Adonai, then it means my Lord and Master, which is a name given only to God himself. And when you say Yeshua is Adonai, you start breaking spiritual strongholds in the world around you. You start defeating the power that's against Messiah, every anti-Messiah spirit that wants to say that Yeshua didn't come in the flesh. He did. And he came with strength, he came with power, and he is Messiah, and he is Lord. So when you get that right and you start trusting the Lord, you start declaring it, you know what? Power from on high comes to you. And the faith that you have is not only tested, it's purified, and then it's strengthened. And you won't give in to spiritual lies when you hold on to the spiritual truth. You'll hold on to the reality that Yeshua knows you. He died for you. He rose from the dead for you. He poured out his blood as a living sacrifice for you, but it doesn't stop there. He returned to heaven and he sent the Holy Spirit for you. And you may have been taught that the Holy Spirit went into early retirement a couple of thousand years ago, and he's just sort of been watching things from afar. But I want to tell you this, the Holy Spirit is working and he's busy. And his goal is to fill up every believer, to lead every believer, to be an active presence inside every believer. He's not just got some good ideas and he's going to help you study the Bible. He will. But he is going to give you power that you don't have in yourself and you'll never have in yourself as a believer. When Paul went to Ephesus looking for those disciples who had received the good news, he asked them if they'd received the Holy Spirit when they believed. And they said, we didn't even know there was a Holy Spirit given. And he said, well, in what tevilah, in what immersion were you immersed? And they said, in Yochanan, in John's immersion. And Paul had to instruct him that the immersion of John was preparatory, but not the same as the immersion of those who turned to Yeshua. That John's immersion had repentance associated with it, but it didn't have the transforming, redemptive power of being a follower of Yeshua and being immersed in water in his name. And not only that, but being immersed in water is great, but there's also an immersion in the Holy Spirit, which Yeshua talked about, and everyone needs it, whether you're Jewish or Gentile. It doesn't matter what your theological history or bent is, you need the Holy Spirit. Yeshua didn't ask people, what is theologically pleasing to you about the Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit and the fruit of the Spirit? He decided to pour out the Holy Spirit. And then the response that people have is to receive with their hearts. It's a wonderful thing. And when you receive the Holy Spirit, I can tell you this, he'll do more than you could ask or imagine, and you'll be more effective than you could ask or imagine. I was thinking about three examples, both at the human level and at the practical level, of those who chose blessing and what we can learn from them. And the first one I was thinking of was Abraham, because he learned to follow God even when it put him at odds with his own family and relatives and what was familiar to them. And then I was thinking about Rahab, and how she learned that you need to do good and do what's pleasing to the Lord, not just think about it, and not just have good intentions or good attitudes, but you've got to put action. And then I was thinking about Ruth, who chose the God of Israel and the people of Israel and was faithful to them to the very end. She didn't have just temporary affection. Somebody once said about a guy he knew, a pastor he knew, who was supportive of him. He was a Messianic Jew, but he said he tests positive towards Messianic Judaism, but currently he has no symptoms. In other words, he's got a good attitude, but he's not manifesting anything. I like that comparison. I've never forgotten it. So I think about choosing blessing and how following God can put you at odds with your family and relatives. When I decided to follow Yeshua, I understood it was going to put me at odds with my family. And I had to count the costs. And I thought I'd counted them. And then I got immersed in water and I found out my parents were scandalized. I was trying to hide it from them. But our daughter told my little sister, I didn't even think how to cover my tracks. I didn't want them to know. I wasn't ready for them to know, but Allison told Beth, and Beth told Mom, and Mom freaked out and told Dad, and everybody was unhappy. They thought I was crazy. They thought I could become a Nazi if I wasn't careful, and they disinherited me. It was a tough time, but I had counted the cost and said, Lord, even if it costs me everything I've got, I'm ready. But I was thinking about Abraham. You know, Joshua said this about Abraham. It's very interesting. Joshua 24, verse 2, it says, he said to all the people, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, long ago, your fathers lived beyond the Euphrates. And Terah, the father of Abraham, and Nahor, they served other gods. You see, this is really interesting. Abraham comes from a family background that didn't get it right. And they were at odds, in a sense. You could say that they were a transitional generation because they were serving other gods, and yet they were being called on by God, and in a limited way they responded. But look what it says in Joshua 24. It says, the Lord says, then I took your father Abraham. I took him. I took him from beyond the river, and I led him through all the land of Canaan, and I made his offspring many. I gave him Isaac. The Lord's saying, he came from a family that served other gods. And I told him to leave the family and to leave what was familiar to him, to leave their land and to leave the nation and all that involved, and to go where I led. And I took him. I took him for myself. That's what the Lord is saying. No one gave him to me. I took him. I took him and I led him, and he turned to me. You see, Abraham was willing to follow God even if it put him at odds, even if it separated him from his family. And you and I need to be willing to do the same thing. Not because we don't appreciate our family or we don't admire or respect our family, and not because we have forgotten that great commandment, honor your mother and your father, but because we understand that that great commandment is subordinate to honoring the Lord. And so we don't use it as an excuse to dishonor. But there are times when honoring the Lord means choosing the Lord, even when your family can't fully support you or understand what you're doing, even when they might reject you. And for Jewish people, this is very serious. But you know what? It's serious for Catholics. If you were raised Catholic and you decide you're going to follow the Lord and join the Messianic movement, you're going to find some misunderstanding. It's serious for atheist families, purely secular families. You start talking about God inside your family, they'll think you're nuts, maybe, or they'll think you're an extremist. And in their eyes, you may be, but in what you understand is you're choosing life, you're choosing the Lord. You know, the Messianic movement is so unusual, anybody could misunderstand you when you become a part of it. Abraham decided to serve the Lord, and he taught his son to serve the Lord. And I think about Rahab and how she's identified. She's identified as a prostitute. That's something, if it were true about you, you'd probably want to keep under wraps. But about her, it's in the Bible. And so all of us know this. And we discover something about her, that when Joshua and his spies came into the land, that she was the one who was willing to take action to protect them. She was willing to actually honor God and stand with Israel, even though it put her at odds with her own people, but she became a hero in God's eyes, even if she wasn't in the eyes of her people. And she learned something. You have to make choices. You have to do good. You have to do what's pleasing to the Lord. It may cost you. It may cost you everything. But God gave her a place among his covenant people. And through her, Boaz was born. And through Boaz, Ruth found her home in Israel and among the Jewish people. And through Ruth and Boaz, Obed and Yishai, Jesse came. And from them came King David. And from King David came Mashiach. So Rahab the prostitute, that was part of her past. But her future was awesome because she made those great choices. In Hebrews, if you think of it as Messianic Jews rather than Hebrews, Hebrews sounds so old, doesn't it? And so other. In America, Reformed Jews identified themselves almost 100 years ago as being Hebrew. The Union of American Hebrew Congregations, UAHC. It was a Reform congregational organization because they were afraid to say Jew or Jewish. And so they said Hebrew, you know, like, well, that makes us something else. But in the book of Messianic Jews, also known aka Hebrews, it says, by faith the prostitute Rahab, because she welcomed the spies in peace, did not perish with those who were disobedient. And then in Matthew chapter 1, verse 5, it says, Salmon was the father of Boaz by Rahab. Boaz the father of Obed by Ruth. Obed the father of Yishai, Jesse, and Jesse the father of David the king. And in Yaakov, James chapter 2, 24, it says, as you can see, a man is justified by his deeds and not by faith operating apart from his deeds. In the same way, was not even Rahab the prostitute justified by her actions when she welcomed the messengers and sent them off on another route? And so here, this is someone who chose the life of blessing, and she came out from under the curse. Do you know that being a prostitute is not a blessed life or career? And she came out from that. And she came into a life that no one could have imagined. If you wanted to pick an ancestor for Mashiach, would you have gone to a brothel? If you were looking for someone who would protect you as spies in a foreign land, would you go looking for a prostitute? But the Lord knew what he was doing. And if you were looking for someone who would be like really good as one of the matriarchs from whom Mashiach would come, would you look for a sex trade worker? The Lord did. And it shows us the power of redemption because she came out from the cursed life into the life of blessing. It cost her everything. And she had to choose the God of Israel and the people Israel, and she separated herself from all that was getting her in trouble but was familiar and was natural. And then I think about Ruth. She was a Moabitess. And she was from a people born of incest. Jews were forbidden to marry Moabites. But Ruth came out from under the curse that was on her people. How did she do it? She chose the God of Israel. She chose the people Israel. She chose to be joined and to be faithful. And in so doing, and she could not have fully understood this at the moment, she was choosing Mashiach. Little did she know that not only was she choosing Mashiach, but the Lord was choosing her for Mashiach, because through her came Mashiach. Can you imagine that the Lord knows what he's doing? And this should teach us some tolerance, that the Lord can choose from people who are totally undeserving, like you and me. And he can choose from people who are manifesting undeserving theology and attitude and behavior, and he can say, I'm going to be kind to that one. He can go to Mesopotamia, to Ur of the Chaldees, and say, oh man, I see all these idol worshipers. This one, this lad, he'll do. I'm going to take him. And that's what he did with Abraham. So be careful when you decide to only call down fire on the idol worshipers. And remember that had God only sent fire to all of them, you and I would not be here today. The world would long ago have burned up entirely. Faith, the life of blessing. Remember this, Yeshua. Yeshua took the curse. He paid the ransom, the penalty that we deserved according to Torah, and he purchased us with his own life. The kinsman redeemer, the one who ransoms for the sake of his family, this one has to have the resources, the willingness, the life. He has to be able to pay for what another one can't pay for. And Yeshua had enough to pay for you and for me. He had enough life in him. God came down and took on a human body so that he could be a kinsman redeemer, not a stranger. Because according to Torah, it's only from the family that redemption can come in this way. No strangers can do it. And in order to redeem Israel, it had to be from inside of Israel that a redeemer came. And even though the world may not fully recognize this, for the world to be redeemed, the redeemer had to come from inside Israel. Because Israel is part of the world, separated from the world unto God for the purposes of redemption. So one of the great purposes of Israel is to be faithful to God, to live life of faith, to serve the Lord, to serve Mashiach, to serve in the fullness and the power of the Holy Spirit, to serve according to Torah and HaBrit HaChadashah, so that the full redemption that God has in mind for the world can take place. It's not that we need to become less Jewish. We need to become more Jewish. But by more Jewish, I don't mean more Orthodox, as if that's the only form of Judaism. No, I mean more Jewish in a scriptural sense, serving God, loving his word, but having a close personal fellowship with him, accepting the redemption of Messiah, and receiving the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. All of these are necessary. Yeshua even said to his disciples that they needed to wait in Jerusalem until they received the Holy Spirit. And they could not effectively be his witnesses even in Jerusalem or in Judea and Samaria, the West Bank, or the uttermost parts of the world like Jacksonville, until they had received the Holy Spirit. So if it was true for them, they needed the Holy Spirit, do you think it's true for the person sitting next to you? And do you think it's true for the person who looks at you in the mirror when you get up in the morning and brush your teeth? It's true for us too. Every one of us should not try to do this without the Holy Spirit. And so the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, the way is described in the book of Acts, it's for those who are seeking the Lord and who are calling upon the name of Yeshua and want to know how to be saved and want to walk in obedience. It's not for others. I can tell you, Orthodox Judaism, Conservative Judaism, Reform Judaism, Reconstruction Judaism, every form of Zionism is not offering the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. The only offering is coming from the Lord through Messiah, and in the Jewish world, as part of Messianic Judaism. That's it. No one else is offering that. And there's a reason. This is an exclusive God has given. He's not giving the Holy Spirit to anyone except those who want to receive Yeshua and who want to follow him. Well, I want to tell you, I'm very happy today. I'm happy today because on Wednesday, Antonio and I went down to Union Correctional Institute in order to meet with the Messianic community behind bars there. And I want to bring you their greetings and their congratulations to you. They pray for you. They pray for me. They pray for us regularly. I had the joy of meeting Michael Fisk. Michael is a Messianic Jewish prisoner. And for many years, he was writing to us faithfully saying, please come to prison. We need your help. And he's the one who really got us going, to be honest with you. And it was so wonderful to see him face to face, to talk with him, to hug him, to pray with him, and to have that joy of being with him, and to meet other Jewish believers, Messianic Jews, who are there behind prison. And then to meet the Jewish prisoner who's in charge of the religious library in the prison. And he showed me around that library. It has a nice Jewish section with a Messianic Jewish section inside of it. And he said, some people think we're Orthodox, we're not, we're just traditional Jews. And he said, he grew up as a conservative Jew. I said, so did I. I said, so I guess I'm a conservative Messianic Jew. And he said, well, I'm just a conservative Jew. But you know what's interesting? Behind prison bars, the Jewish believers and the traditional Jews are having brotherhood together and developing good relationships with each other. Isn't that interesting? It's a good example for all of us. And so I appreciated the time I got to look at the books they have. They have a good library of Messianic Jewish materials, and they need more. We can talk about that later. But I had the joy of being with them and sharing with them that we're in the month of Elul, and this is a time of preparation for the new year and the coming Day of Atonement. And we prepare by examining ourselves and then being honest with God, confessing our sins to him and choosing life, turning away from all the things that want to lead us in a different direction from God. And it was a joyful time. It was really a fantastic time. So I just want to tell you, I'm still happy about that experience. And I encourage you, if you have it in your heart to participate in the prison ministry, I want to encourage you to take action. See Antonio Cazares, sign up and be part of that, because when you visit the prisoners, you know what? You're visiting the Lord. Yeshua said, I'll count that as a personal visit. And these are people who have actually committed crimes and are in prison. They're not innocent. But they're, you know what? They're being honest with the Lord and coming clean with the Lord, and that makes a big difference when you do that. It's a good example for all of us. But they send greetings to you. They're praying for you, and you and I need their prayers, and they need our prayers. And so I encourage you, ask the Lord to put a care and a concern in your heart for the prisoners, because you'll find that many of them really need someone standing in the gap. Even if you never see their face, God can use you by the power of the Holy Spirit. You can pray in the Spirit for them, then he'll give you understanding how to pray, and it'll make a huge difference. Well, we're going to close right now with Aaron's blessing, so would you please rise? Yivarechecha Adonai v'yishmarecha. Ye'er Adonai panavelecha v'ichunecha yisa Adonai panavelecha v'yasemlecha shalom. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep watch over you and protect you. The Lord cause the light of his face to shine upon you. The Lord be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his face to you and give you his peace. In the name of Yeshua, the Prince of Peace. Amen. Shabbat shalom.